The title of the series is Your Job is Your Ministry. I want you to personalize that and please say, my job is my ministry. Say that, my job is my ministry. And so we've talked about the fact that work is a gift, and sometimes we view it as really difficult, but if we'll view that as a gift, we'll really begin to understand just a shift. And then I said that work is an assignment. Please say that. Work is an assignment. So if you realize work is a gift and that God has put you in a particular place, that He has an assignment for you, that's going to really help you in your attitude. And then last week I talked about that work is an opportunity. And so we prayed for open doors and opportunities to share the gospel. And I thought that was so powerful what Justin shared about his opportunity to start a Bible study. So let's say that again. Your job is your ministry. Say that, your job. Say this, my job is my ministry. And today I want to talk about the fact that work is preparation. Work is preparation. So I shared before some stats with you. A Gallup poll discovered that 85% of people worldwide hate their job. That's pretty discouraging. It gets a little better in America. 70% of people in the States hate their job. So if you like your job today, you're in a pretty good place if you have some enjoyment in your job. This is from Forbes magazine. 90% of people say work is more often a source of frustration than fulfillment. And so my hope and desire is that as we've been talking about your job being your ministry, that we wouldn't see it as a place of frustration, but we'd see it as a place that's fulfilling. One, it's a gift, but it could be an assignment from the Lord. He wants me to touch some people. This is also from Gallup. 87% of people are emotionally disconnected from their workplace. And I understand that. People clock in and clock out. They want to get home to their families. But what we're trying to cast is a little bigger vision. If you spend at least 40 hours a week at your job, and some of you it might be even more, 60. If you have a small business, if you're the supervisor, if you're the owner, you're probably spending a lot more than that. But the idea is that we wouldn't be so disconnected, but we would see it as an assignment. What does God want me to do there? How does He want me to touch people? And so it's understandable that people feel emotionally disconnected, but I think if the Lord gives us a vision for where we're at, that could be transformative. Somebody once said, "My keyboard must be broken. I keep hitting the escape key, but I'm still at work." And so you might feel that way sometimes. You want to escape, but God has you there for a purpose. So I want to talk today about the fact that work is preparation, that God's doing something in you. And no matter where you're at today, if you can embrace that and say, you know what, God has me in this place, but He's preparing me for something. He's preparing me for promotion. He's preparing me to do something for Him in extraordinary ways. And so I want to share with you about preparing for the next level. And then we're going to talk about promotion is coming and how you can pray your way up. So prepare for the next level, whatever situation you're in. So the first thing is this. I want to encourage you to learn all you can in your current situation. We should always be growing spiritually, but growing in every possible way. So learn all you can in your current situation. So whatever job you have, the first thing I would encourage you is ask the Lord for wisdom. But whatever your job situation is, ask the Lord for His wisdom. Listen to 2 Chronicles 1:10. King Solomon prayed this, "Give me wisdom and knowledge that I may lead this people, for who is able to govern this great people of yours?" So if you're in a job situation that maybe you feel unqualified for, or you feel that you're not sure about, ask the Lord for wisdom and ask Him for wisdom and knowledge how you can reach the people that are around you, how you can influence them, how you can let your light shine, as we talked about before. So ask the Lord for wisdom, and He will grant that to you. If you go to the Lord, especially if you're in a difficult relational situation, maybe And some of you, we have prayed through with you because you had a very difficult boss or you had a very difficult work environment. But some of you can testify, as we prayed and we asked the Lord for wisdom, He gave it to you. He gave you the answers, how to minister to that person, how to operate, how to keep your peace, but also flourish in that situation. So ask the Lord for His wisdom about your job situation. Secondly, ask the Lord for success. You can do that, but ask Him for success. Genesis 24, verse 12, when looking for a wife for Isaac, Abraham's servant, he prayed this, "O Lord, God of my master Abraham, give me success today and show kindness to my master Abraham." And so I would encourage you, as you're driving to work, as you're going into your work situation, ask the Lord for success. Ask Him to bless you, to help you succeed. Whatever your job is, ask the Lord for wisdom and ask the Lord for success. And so if you realize God is on your side, He wants you to succeed. I think we should pause for a moment. I think we should say this out loud. Say, "God wants me to succeed." That's really His heartbeat. That's the heart of the Father. Think about your heart for your children. You want your children to succeed. God wants you to succeed. The third thing I would encourage you to pray is to ask the Lord for favor. Because it's God who's going to give you favor. He'll give you favor with men. He'll give you favor with people. So ask the Lord for favor. This is out of Nehemiah 1:11. Nehemiah prayed, "O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name." That's you. You delight in the Lord. You delight in revering His name. "Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man." Man, that's powerful. So you ask God for success, but you ask Him to give you favor with people, and He'll give you success by giving you favor with your boss, by giving you favor with your colleagues at work, by giving you favor with your clients. And so ask the Lord for favor. The fourth prayer is to ask the Lord for your inheritance. You do have an inheritance, and God is going to release that to you, but it is often through your job situation. The provision of the Lord. So this is in Joshua 14, verses 12 to 13. And so when he arrived in Canaan, Caleb says to Joshua, "Now give me this hill country and that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said." And then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. Would you please say inheritance out loud? Say that. So ask the Lord for, for your inheritance. Now notice this, Canaan was the promised land. Caleb gets there, but you still have to fight for your inheritance. So ask the Lord for wisdom. Ask the Lord for success. Ask the Lord for favor. And then ask the Lord for your inheritance. Have that mentality and that position to say, you know what, I'm here to influence, I'm here to make a difference, but Lord, I'm asking you for success, favor, and that you'll begin to release your inheritance to me. And so I just want you to know today, it doesn't matter where you came from, it just matters where you're going. It doesn't matter how you started, because in Christ, you have an inheritance. Say amen to that. And so you might be here today and say, well, I didn't really come from a family that had much, or I don't really have much of an education or much of a skill set. I'm here to declare to you that in Christ, you can have wisdom, you can have success, you can have favor, and you have an inheritance because of the Lord. Say amen to that. And so we prepare for the next level. First, learn all that you can in your current situation and ask the Lord for these things as you're in your current situation. Now, while you're working, make preparations for the next level. So your level, wherever you're at, God may want to promote you within the current situation you are, or He may want to promote you out of your current situation into another place. So if you'll just receive this, God's the one who promotes. It's not your boss. It's not the owner of the company. God's the one who promotes. And so He sees exactly what you're doing in your situation. He might promote you within your current company, Or if you've hit a ceiling there and you're not going to get a promotion, then God is going to promote you. But it might be outside to a different area because he sees the things that you're doing. God's the one who promotes. So thus, you need to make preparations for the next level. You learn everything you can where you're at, but then you make preparations for the next level. Listen to Philemon, and this is chapter 1, verse 22. Paul wrote to Philemon, "And one thing more, prepare a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers." So he wanted to go visit. He says, "Hey, prepare a guest room for me." You know what this would be like? This would be like, for those of you that have kids, when you found out you were expecting, you probably prepared that room for your child. Maybe they had their own room or their own dedicated area, but you prepare the nursery. You prepare in faith because you know baby's coming, and that's exciting. And so prepare for the next level. So in your heart and in your mind, whatever situation you're in, you're being faithful and you're learning all you can, but you're preparing for the next level. You're preparing for the next thing that God has for you. You're preparing for promotion in your heart and in your mind and in your life. And so realize that whatever job you're in, it's preparation. Realize that your current job is your training ground. So even if you're in a very fulfilling job, maybe you've hit your stride and you're in your career, realize this, whatever situation you're in, God is always training you for the next phase in your life. Every time, I've noticed this in my life, that whatever phase I'm in, whatever situation I'm in, if I will receive and embrace what God is doing and realize that he is training me for the next phase, He's given me skill sets. He's given me wisdom. He's given me experiences. He's setting me up for the next phase in my life. So even if you've hit your stride and you're in your career and you really enjoy it, there are still expansive areas. There are still areas that he wants you to grow and to prepare you for the next level. So your current job is your training ground. So make preparations for the next level, just like when you got excited that your child was going to be born. You made preparations in your heart and in your house, and you got everything ready. You bought the crib, you bought the stroller, you bought the car seat, you bought all the things, and you got excited about that. So make preparations for the next level. The third aspect that I would say when we're preparing for this next level is realize that God is teaching you skills for the next phase. So no matter what you're doing, it may feel very mundane, but he's teaching you skills for the next level. It might not be the exact skill that you're going to use, but you'll learn something about that skill and how to operate in that skill. Might be your attitude, it might be how to manage things, but it's to prepare you for the next level. Or it could be a very specific skill as well. Listen to Ephesians 2:10. "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God planned in advance for us to do." So if you could understand God's sovereignty and that God knows the future, so whatever job you're going to have tomorrow or opportunities you have tomorrow, he's preparing that in advance. He's getting people ready. He's moving the chess pieces on the chessboard, the right people for you to meet, the right clients for you to encounter. He's setting things up, preparing things in advance for you to do. That gets really exciting. So if you embrace today, realizing that God is planning your future, and it is an exciting future for the people that you're going to meet and the jobs that you're going to have and the resources that you're going to have, he is planning them in advance. Aren't you glad that you're partnering with God who knows the future? Aren't you glad that you're partnering with the Lord who has the ability to move the chess pieces and organize things for you? So he's teaching you skills for the next phase. Think about David. David, when you read his life story, he killed a lion and a bear before he ever killed a giant. And sometimes we want to kill the giant. Sometimes we want to do the extraordinary thing that's maybe our dream. And God says, you know what? Start by killing a lion and a bear. And once you gain that experience, and once you know how to kill a lion and a bear, then you'll be ready to kill the giant. So sometimes we think that, oh, we're ready to just shoot to the next level or to just go way up the stratosphere. And yet God's saying, you know what, just learn to do these things very, very well. And if you learn to do them very well, then I'm going to promote you and you're going to be able to kill Goliath. Say amen to that. So there's something about the skills. So whatever you're going through, take inventory and say, wow, what are the skills that I'm learning? And take note of that. You may not even understand it, everything, but take note of it. David, think about this. David was a shepherd before he became a king. And that was really important. He had to learn to take care of sheep. And God refers to himself as the shepherd of Israel because he wanted him to shepherd. He wanted him to rule with the heart of a shepherd. And so God prepares David to kill the lion, to kill the bear, so he can kill Goliath. He prepares him as a shepherd so that he can govern and rule the nation of Israel as a king. So he's teaching you whatever skills now in order to get you ready for the next level. And I've discovered this. God will use whatever skills you have for his glory down the line. I shared with you that when I was in college, I drove a school bus for 3 years, and that's how I paid my way through school. And it was a wonderful job. I told you it was great. I would go early, and I learned a lot, how to get up early in the morning, how to be on time. I would take my kids, drop them off at school, then I'd go do my classes, and then I would go pick them up. It got really fun if I got to do a football game or, just go watch the kids play. So it was a great job. But when you're in school, you don't enjoy every moment. And I'm sure you feel that way about your job all the time. You don't always enjoy every single moment. So when I was done, I was glad to be done with that because then I went on a 6.5-month mission trip through Southeast Asia and the Pacific. And I think it was 13 different nations went to traveling, preaching, just any open doors that God would open for me and for us. I was traveling with Dr. Tom at the time. And I'll never forget, we were in Nepal, and we were staying at a children's home and ministering, but we stayed at the children's home, and there was this old bus in the parking lot or in the yard of the children's home. And I said, oh, what's that bus for? And they said, well, somebody donated that bus, but nobody knows how to drive it. Because it has a double clutch. And I said, well, I know how to drive that. So the next thing I know, I'm driving through Kathmandu, driving this bus, these kids all around Kathmandu, and I'm teaching the guy who's at the children's home how to use a double clutch. You just never know when God will use the skills that you have. And so that might seem like a silly thing, but God will use whatever skills you have when he gets you to the next level. Pay attention to those kinds of things. I shared with you when Sarah was getting her master's degree at Regent University, I was a youth pastor. The church wasn't able to pay us full-time, so I was part-time. So I worked at a bookstore. I answered phones at CBN. But then the Lord opened up a door for me to teach at a little Bible college called Bible Teachers Institute. Later on, it became, I think now it's called Tidewater Bible College. And so I was on the faculty of this Bible college. I'm sure, I know that was a precursor to Freedom Bible College. I was learning skills. I was learning how to teach. And so God prepares you in these areas. So take note of the things and the skills that he's teaching you because he will use them at the next level. You will gain that experience. And so pay attention to those things. So prepare for the next level. Embrace what God is doing. Learn all you can. Make preparations in your heart by faith. And then realize that God is teaching you for the next phase. And then when you really get that work done in your heart, realize that promotion is coming. In fact, I think we should say this in faith. Say, promotion is coming. Say, promotion is coming. Okay, so let's talk about promotion for a few minutes. The first thing I would encourage you to do is to pray for contentment. Because a lot of times you want out really, really quick. You're trying to get out of that situation. You want promotion. You don't care for the job, or you want to work your way up. So that's understandable. We pray for that, but pray for contentment. So listen to Philippians 4, 12 to 13. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. So the secret was his attitude. Paul had an amazing attitude, no matter what was happening. I wish I could say that I've always had a good attitude, but sometimes I don't have such a good attitude. So whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, then he says, I can do everything. Someone say everything. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. So he had an amazing attitude. So instead of complaining, instead of griping, instead of gossiping, instead of talking bad about your employer and the situation, you have an amazing attitude. And you say, God, give me contentment. This may not be my favorite situation, but I'm believing that this is a gift. This is an assignment. I'm going to make the most of this opportunity. And Lord, I want to learn in this. So Lord, give me contentment with the level that I'm at. Let's say you have your own business and you know you have a vision and a dream that God is going to take you to a certain level, but ask him for contentment and peace in your current situation. Because I'll share this. This is one of my axioms for ministry and for life. God is always more concerned about what he's doing in you than through you. Okay? He'll use you. He'll flow through you. So he's always much more interested in your heart, much more interested in what he's doing in you than through you. So if you'll embrace this and say, okay, God, what are you doing in me? What's the deep work that you're doing in me? And I want to have a great attitude. I want to have the peace of the Lord, and I want to make the most of this situation. I remember one summer, I had a summer job in college. I had a construction job. And to my knowledge, I was the only Christian in that environment. This company, what they would do is they would set up forms, and I don't know how they do it now, but they would set up forms in order to pour foundations. And so that was our job. We would just go dig trenches and set up the forms. And it was a tough environment. For those of you that work in construction, you may know it can be a tough environment. And I still, unfortunately, remember some of the bad jokes that were told and some of the language that took place. And everything in me, I didn't want to be in that job, but it was the door that God opened for provision. And so I just prayed for contentment. I said, God, give me contentment. And I was just a young guy, so I didn't know about influence. I didn't, you know, as a young person, I don't even know if I would have had any influence. I was just a young guy on the job site. But I just said, Lord, I pray for contentment. I pray for contentment. And so God gave me grace to be content. But here's what he'll do. He'll give you contentment and help you have the right attitude. But then if you do have the right attitude, he will orchestrate things in order to give you grace for that situation. So what he did for me is the other guys got pulled away to other job sites, and I was left alone to work. And it was tough. I had to put these forms together, but you know what? Inside, I was so happy. I was all alone because I didn't have to listen to all their stuff. And so God gave me contentment. And so whatever your situation, I'm trying to think of examples, but you know, God gave me grace. He helped me to do that. And so pray for contentment in your situation. Secondly, make the most of your situation. So before promotion, oftentimes God will say, you know what, make the most of your situation. Listen to Colossians 4 and verse 5. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. And so that's not easy, but instead of complaining, instead of, you know, griping, gossiping, or saying, you know, they should do things differently, which all those could be understandable, those thoughts of things should be done differently, et cetera, if you're in a situation like that. But make the most of the opportunity. Say, God, how can I make the most of the opportunity? So be faithful, prosper as much as you can, and then stay in faith. Stay in faith for the promotion. So make the most of the opportunity. I love what John Wesley said. He said this, make all you can, save all you can, and then give all you can. So in whatever situation you're in, make all the money you can. Do everything you can. Save all the money you can, and then give all that you can. What a great prescription. What a great statement. Make all you can, save all you can, and give all you can. So make the most of your situation. So pray for contentment, make the most of your situation, and then thirdly, embrace the process. Embrace the process. So whatever God is doing inside of you, embrace it as you wait for promotion. So Isaiah 64 verse 8 says this, "Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We're the clay and you're the potter. We are all the work of your hand." So God's the potter and you're the clay. So he is shaping you into the person that he wants you to be. And so he will use every trial, he will use every irritable person that you work with, every difficult situation, and he's going to use that to mold you and to shape you. When I was in high school, I actually did some pottery. I threw on the wheel. I don't want you to think I'm any good or anything, but I learned the process. And so you take that piece of clay, that lump of clay, you put it on the wheel, and then you start shaping and you start molding. Now, if you think about this, if you're the piece of clay, the potter does whatever he wants with that piece of clay. And so you might just be this lump of clay sitting on the wheel, but God's shaping you and molding you. And sometimes that would hurt, wouldn't it? If he's pushing you, if he's prodding you, if he's working on you. And so he's the potter, you're the clay. So embrace the process. And realize that, you know what, when you're going through a difficult time, it might be that God is shaping you and getting you ready for the next phase. And so if we could say, God, I embrace this process that you're doing. Think about Joseph, the life of Joseph. He started out very excited as a young man. He said, he had all these dreams, and he told his brothers, "You're going to bow down to me one day." That was probably a little presumptuous and arrogant as maybe a 17-year-old. Hey, try that. If you have brothers today, try telling your brothers that they're going to bow down to you. I'm sure that would lead to some sort of an argument or fight or discussion. So he was probably a little bit arrogant. He gets excited, and then he's thrown into the pit, and then he goes and he's sold into slavery, but he serves Potiphar. And he goes through this whole process, and then he's falsely accused, gets put into prison, but eventually he becomes the prime minister of Egypt. So what happens? He goes through this process. If as 17, he was not ready to be the prime minister of Egypt, but once he went through this process, then he's ready, and his dreams came to pass. His brothers did bow down. He wasn't a very influential very influential place in his life. And so embrace the process. Realize God is always doing something in you. He'll do something through you, but he's doing something in you. And so embrace it, whatever God is doing. And just prosper where you're planted. That's what Joseph did. He prospered in Potiphar's house. Then he prospered in jail. Everywhere he went, he just prospered. He had success. Wherever he was at, good or bad, he just prospered. Because he had the right heart. And so if we could have the right heart, then you will prosper whatever situation you're at. So make the most of the opportunity and embrace what God is doing. I told you I've had over 20 jobs, and I wanted to clarify last week. It doesn't mean I couldn't hold down a job, but I was called to the ministry, and so I did different things in order to make ends meet as I was doing what God had called me to do. But I remember one job that I had in college. Well, I worked for Little Caesars. I delivered pizza for Little Caesars. And then I worked at Pizza Hut. Yeah, so I figured, find the place where they'll give you a free meal. That was my thinking and my philosophy. So I like pizza, so I did each one of those jobs. But I was working at Little Caesars. So I had just come from Africa. Now, this will give you a little insight into me and to my worldview. So I come from Africa, and you have to remember, I grew up in a country in the Congo in abject poverty. So if people had a job, they might make a dollar a day. I had friends that would go sometimes 2 or 3 days without eating. And so it was very, very real, the situation that we grew up in. So then I come from Africa, and it's absolute affluence. incredible affluence here in America. And so I'm just working at Little Caesars, and I see all the food that they're throwing away that they don't sell. I actually cried as a young man. I didn't know what to do. I went to the back, and I just started crying. And I was like, I can't believe we're throwing food away here. So I didn't know what to do. So I went to the manager, and I said, hey, is there any way we could not throw this food away? Can I do something with it? And amazingly, the Lord gave me favor. They even have laws about that kind of stuff now. But the guy says, yeah, you can take the pizzas. So everything that we didn't sell at Little Caesars, I just took with me. Now, then God will give you ideas. So I go to the dorm and I sold the pizzas. So 100% profit. Thank you, Jesus. So I just go up and down the door and say, hey, pizza for sale. And I give them a great deal, but I just pocketed the cash. My point is this. These may seem like silly examples, but just prosper where you're planted and let God give you ideas of how you could prosper and how you could flourish. But embrace the process. Now, so I know I'm getting my degree in college, and I know that I'm not called. Some of you might be called to own your own Little Caesars. But I said, you know what, I'll be faithful, but I'm going to prosper in this because I'm working toward a long-term goal. And so really encourage you to embrace whatever's happening. So promotion is coming. Say that out loud. Promotion is coming. But pray for contentment. Secondly, make the most of your situation. Thirdly, embrace the process. And then fourthly, I would encourage you to build your resume. So build your resume. Whatever God is leading you to do. But in this current situation, as you're believing the Lord, that promotion is coming, build your resume. Now listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 10, 24 to 25. A student is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the student to be like his teacher and the servant like his master. So whatever situation you're in, the Lord ultimately wants you to be like him, but you are being mentored and you're learning in your current situation. So pay attention to how you are mentored along the way. Every skill set, everything that you're learning. But I really believe this, that God will bring mentors into your life. It will either be in your work situation. It might be a voice, a coach outside of your work situation. It might be here at church, where there's a big brother, a big sister in the Lord, a father in the Lord, somebody that will help mentor you through your situation. But pay attention to the people that God brings into your life that he allows to be mentors and coaches in your life. So here he says, a student is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It's enough for the student to be like his teacher. So the Lord will place you in situations so that you will learn the skills, learn from the people that are around you, and you'll be like them. That's a powerful process. And so pay attention to how you're mentored along the way. You know, after Sarah got her master's degree, then we felt led in our heart. So we were on staff at this church for 2 years, and then she finished up her master's degree. And then the Lord put it on our heart to travel for a year. So we traveled for a whole year around the world. We started in Europe, and then we went down to Africa, and then we were in Asia and the South Pacific. And I wish I could had time to tell you the stories of God's provision and the miracles that we saw, and just being out on the water and just the adventure and seeing God open up doors. It was extraordinary. And so we did that, and after a year, we came back to the States, and we saw a grace on our life to really minister, mainly cross-culturally, but we saw a grace on our life for ministry. So we started our ministry. We called it Healing to the Nations, taking healing to the nations. And so for the next 7 years or so, we just crisscrossed the globe. Every opportunity that we had, we'd go minister, we'd go preach. And so we were living in Colorado at the time, and Sarah's parents, that was our home church. And so we were traveling any open door, but I wasn't in full-time ministry yet. The provision wasn't there. So any job I could get, I would do. And so there was in our church, there was a painter, a contractor, a paint contractor. And so he gave me a job. It was amazing. So anytime I was in town where I wasn't traveling and preaching, he'd say, come and help me paint houses. And so it was really, you know, God's provision. And then I was preaching in California, and at the church that I was ministering at, somehow it came up that I was painting houses, and this guy says, you know what, I just got a contract to paint all the bathrooms at Costco in Denver, and I would love to hire you for that, and then I don't even have to go. And so that was an amazing contract. So I said, yeah, I'll do that. I can paint. So I got to paint all the bathrooms at Costco in the Denver area. It was a crazy job. I had to do it after the store closed and early in the morning, either 3 or 4 in the morning, but it was just God's provision. And so I just tried to do my best and learn whatever God has for us. And then we helped Sarah's parents. I helped them start a Bible college in their church. And again, these are all building your resume for the next phase that God has for you. And so I know that teaching at that Bible college in Virginia Beach and teaching and starting, helping them pioneer a Bible college, that one's not in existence anymore. But all of those things were training grounds to start right here at Freedom Bible College. And so wherever I went, and I took note of the mentors, you know. So my dad is, you know, my dad's been in ministry over 60 years. And I love my dad, and I've learned so much from him. You know, the Bible says that you don't have many fathers in the Lord. I was pretty blessed because I had a good dad. And so I learned a lot from him. And then I married Sarah, and I learned a lot from Sarah's dad as far as ministry and flowing in the supernatural. And these were the mentors that, you know, that God put into our life. And so I take note of that. At the time, we were part of a church planting movement out of Australia. I think they had 1,000 churches at the time. It was called Christian Outreach Center. But the Lord just gave me favor preaching in many of their churches around the world. And so, I got to be around people that were leading movements and had started churches. And so I just took note of that, of the organizational things that were behind the scenes. You know, Sarah's dad was good friends with Andrew Womack, who many of you have seen him teaching on TV. They were very close friends. And so here I was as a young guy, and they would do a conference every year in England called Grace and Faith. And so I got to minister to the youth there. I got to do a workshop. And just being around some of them, I just tried to learn everything that I could. And now I really believe the Lord is using many of those things that I've learned to be part of the spiritual council for Solomon's Porch, to start a Bible college here, to start this church. And I believe the Lord's going to use some of those things for the things that we're going to do overseas, that we're going to do. We have a big vision for this church. We have a big vision that God wants us to accomplish. And so I use all of those things when I teach at a pastor's conference in Africa, when I do a leadership training seminar in other countries. The Lord uses all of those things. What am I trying to say? And I know my context is different than yours. I'm simply trying to say, pay attention to the mentors that are in your life. Pay attention to the situations where you are learning and realize God's building your resume, qualifying you to do what He has called you to do. He's going to promote you. Say amen to that. He's going to open doors for you. And so I just share my own story a little bit, but pay attention to those things. Now, I do want to say this. When God promotes you, let's say this out. God will promote me. Say that. He'll promote me. Okay, so either promote you in your current situation, or you might go to a new job. Have you ever gone to a new job and you just have incredible favor there? And then everyone around says, why do you have so much favor? They don't understand because they've been there for many years, but you have been serving the Lord in another context, another organization. So He promoted you to that situation. So realize this, when you get promoted, and these are a couple of things I would encourage you to tuck away. Realize this. When you're promoted, the next level can be really hard. A lot of people think that promotion means that everything's easy then. Actually, it's usually harder because there's more responsibility and it takes a while to get used to the new workload. Because if you're really promoted, whether it's a kingdom or in your job situation, You don't get promoted and everything. It's easier in the sense that you've been practicing a lot, but there is more responsibility and there's more workload. It can oftentimes be harder. I'll just give this example. When we bought the second building here, suddenly our bills doubled. So it was exciting. Yeah, we have more space. We can influence more people. But now there's more responsibility. There's more of a workload. Another example would be this. If you're, those of you that are in construction, if you build and you're going to add a second story to a building or a house, when you start adding that second story, it's like starting over. You have to do all the wiring now. You have to do all the invisible things in the wall. You have to frame that out. You don't just plop a second story and it's done. You start over. So in many ways, it's hard because you feel like you're starting over. Keep that in mind when God promotes you, because oftentimes you'll feel like you're starting over. When we planted this church, I knew that was a promotion in my heart, but it was like starting over, starting from nothing, just starting, pioneering it. And so realize that when you're being promoted, just keep that in the backdrop of your thinking, because when you go to another level, the enemy will start messing with your mind. And you'll start thinking, oh man, I should go back to Egypt. I should go back and do the things that I did before. So when you get promoted, realize it's not that easy. So the next level can feel like you're starting over. So prepare for the next level. Realize that promotion is coming. And then I want to finish with this. Pray your way up. Let's say this. Pray your way up. Say that. Say it, personalize it. Say, I'm going to pray my way up. Okay? And so I want to invite you to go to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 9. We'll read verse 9 and 10. So this is the prayer of Jabez. And many years ago, a great little book came out called The Prayer of Jabez. I think it's in our bookstore. And you might want to pick it up. It's a great book. So 1 Chronicles 4 and verse 9 and 10, it says, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. And so he's born in pain. Verse 10, Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. And God granted him his request. So Jabez was in pain. If you're in pain today, let's say it this way. If you're really uncomfortable in your job situation, if you're uncomfortable, if you're in pain, just begin to cry out to the Lord. Begin to call out to Him and ask the Lord for blessing and expansion. Realize it may not happen overnight. It may not look like you think it's going to look. Do all the things we talked about. Learn in your situation, but ask the Lord for blessing and expansion. And so that's what he did. He said, bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I'll be free from pain. In other words, he asked for the anointing. He asked for protection. So make that your prayer as you pray your way up. Say, Lord, I don't like this. I want a promotion, but I'm asking for blessing. I'm asking for expansion. I'm asking for anointing and for protection. God will bring you out of that situation. Amen. And He will promote you. And so please realize that work is preparation. Whatever you're in right now, always be learning, always be growing, saying, God, you're preparing me for something even greater. And so I conclude with this. Talk to God about how difficult it is. But whatever your situation is, if it's hard, talk to him about that. Call out to him in pain. Say, Lord, this isn't my favorite thing. But then I'm going to do whatever you want me to do here in my situation. I'm going to realize it's an assignment. I'm going to minister to as many people as I can. I'm going to let my light shine. And I'm going to embrace the work that you're doing in me. And then ask for God's blessing. Ask for his anointing. Ask for protection. And ask for expansion. And the Lord will do it. Amen? Because God is your promoter. That's really good news for you. You don't have to be dependent on an HR department. You don't have to be dependent on a supervisor or boss. God is your promoter. So again, he'll promote you right where you are, or he might promote you into another place. Amen? Let's stand to our feet.